with him. Cannot win with him. Cannot coach with him. Can't do it.
You play the game.
I mean, listen, we talking about practice. Not a game. Not a game. Not a game. We talking about practice.
Down goes Frazier. Down goes Frazier.
Touchdown. You are now locked in to the Clock Dodgers Podcast.
Welcome to the Clock Dodgers Podcast. I'm your host, Neil Maligno. With me, fresh out of an intro workshop shop in Oklahoma City, is Josh Crocker. What's good, Josh?
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, man. I like that excitement. Sky sounds more confident today. Also with us, you know, always with us, the man who claims that he can't taste shapes, Adam Cahill. What's up, man?
Wait, I can't take what?
You said you can't taste shapes, man. You said you wanted to get rid of one of those pretzels in that tweet earlier today.
Man, all right. So context. The tweet was about if you had to get rid of one of the items of Chex Mix, which item would you get rid of? And I said one of the two different types of pretzels because shapes don't change taste.
I'm just saying. I think they do. I think they do. Just for the record. I think the shape.
You think circles taste different than window shapes?
Yeah, I'm thinking, first of all, it's a square, not a window.
No, it's a window shape. once you put the cross in the square, it becomes window
Josh,
shape.
Josh, tiebreaker, is it a window or a square?
If it's got the lines in the middle, it's a window.
Oh, you guys are lame.
Yes.
You guys are lame. All right, cool. So window shape tastes definitely different than a circle. I'm going with circles all day. But yeah, this is good. This is really good. I'm excited about this. I love our episode today because this episode does not have a guest. I don't mean that to like slight guests. I enjoy having guests on, but like this is you know, like it feels like the OG type episode. You know what I mean? Like it's just us, just the guys. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
I was going to start singing just the two of us, but Josh is here.
Yeah, he ruined that. It once was just the two of us. You know that, Josh? You kind of...
I don't know the theme song to Three's Company, but if I did, I'd start right now.
Man, this show has changed a lot over the years. And yeah, it's good, though. Josh is here. We're excited about it. Anyway, listen, no guests this week. Last week, we had Jordan on. It was a great episode. A long episode. We had a lot of fun. So we changed the pace. Just us back together again today. How's everyone doing? Josh, you doing good, man?
Yeah, fantastic.
Anything new going on in your life?
So the other day I was downtown in Oklahoma City and we were walking along the sidewalk. It's like a major thoroughfare, right? So there's people around and we see this guy coming towards us and he's got headphones in and he's talking real loud. So I thought he was just on a phone call, but as we're walking, a runner goes past us and meets that loud guy. And he just like, drop kicks him right in the chest, just absolutely lays this runner out flat.
Wait. And so who drop kicked who? The guy talking to himself
got drop kicked. Like talking to himself.
He drop kicked somebody, or he got drop kicked.
Drop kicks this guy, oh, this
damn.
Runner.
Damn.
Yeah. So the two of them start fighting, right? And I started yelling at him. And the guy that had drop kicked the other guy, he decided to leave.
That if I was unexpectedly drop kicked and I got up even to fight anything after that, I would consider that a win.
That runs really well.
Guys, we get to play a version of one of my favorite game shows. It's Guess That Drug. What drugs is that guy on?
I don't know.
That's some crazy. Yeah, man. I see some crazy stuff in Chicago. I don't think I've ever seen somebody get dropkicked before. That's a new one. That's
the What's the drug of choice in Oklahoma right now, Josh?
I mean,
that's going to go with meth.
Okay.
Sounds like meth. That was going to be my guess.
Meth is the dropkicking.
The game show that is very sad.
The dropkicking drug.
Got it. So if you're ever looking to dropkick somebody, it sounds like meth is the way to go. However, we are not experts, so we will not tell you professionally that's the move. So that's interesting. So you've had some interesting moments, Josh. It sounds like you've had an exciting past week.
It was wild, man. And then afterwards, this guy just walks away, and we just walk away, and it was just like, just dust it off. Because what else are you going to do?
Yeah. Wow, that is Oklahoma. Wow. So wait. All right. So the guy who gets dropkicked.
Yeah.
Does he just like get up immediately and start fighting this guy? Like, how quick is his reaction time? Like, how hard did he get kicked?
He got kicked hard enough that I'm sure his back hit the ground, and he got up and hit that guy. Like, he threw the next punch.
I mean, as you would. I think if someone punches you, you probably have every right to punch back. If someone drop kicks you, you can basically do whatever you want at that point. That's
I was absolutely in shock.
I can only imagine. I'm sure that guy was too after the fact, but
I'm gonna go out on a limb and say that both guys were on meth. Because to get up after someone drop kicked you unexpectedly and still throw the next punch, that's impressive. That's drug behavior.
That is a drug, and yes, that drug is adrenaline.
For sure. Well, I don't know if you could have anything as eventful as Josh Adam, but anything interesting in your neck of the woods?
I don't know. I won 2 parlays on UFC 251, so that was cool.
Nice.
But other than that, nah, nothing.
Are you doing any on today? There's a fight tonight, are there?
I know, no, because we were going to be recording, and I knew I wasn't going to be watching it. I didn't feel like studying the card on just a couple days' notice, so I'm hoping by the time that we're done here, I can catch the main event still, but we'll see what happens.
You hear that, folks? He studies. We study here at Clock Dodgers. We do study.
Yeah, I mean, well, in that sport, watching film matters.
It's no, weird. Film matters, folks. Film matters. All right, man, listen, I've had nothing eventful going on here either except for Corona, so we could just move on from that, right? I mean, there's nothing to say. No, I've had a little experience with Corona here. My wife's mother has Corona, so my anxiety is...
I mean, tell you, she took her mother-in-law to the hospital and then later found out that she had it?
Yeah. Yeah, so she took her mom was not feeling good for a few days. She had actually got tested for it. Because she got one of those pings on her phone, like saying, hey, you've been in the vicinity or something with somebody who has Corona or COVID, whatever. And so she was like, I guess I'll get tested. You know, like that's what you're supposed to do next. And then I don't know if she was sick at that point. I don't think she was. And then got gradually more sick. And then she took her to the hospital, which I was like, I didn't know this was happening. I was like, come on, this could have been a better way to do this. I might want to call an ambulance. But, you know, people don't want to even get in ambulances these days. And obviously, you know, some people don't even want to feel like they have Corona. If they had it, they're like, I don't got it. It's not what this is, you know. So she took her, and then after the fact found out she had it. So now I'm at, like, crazy anxiety in my house because now I'm like, hey, my wife came in contact with someone with Corona. Now she's bringing it home. This sucks. But she's back there in her room. I've bolted it up so she can't – I didn't bolt it up. But she's in a back room and not sleeping in that room, not going in that room. Trying to keep the kids away. It's crazy, man. It's like, it's kind of impossible to do this the right way and keep it all, you know, how you're told to do it. But we'll see how it plays out. She thinks she took all the proper precautions to not, you know, get sick. She was wearing a mask, gloves, all that stuff, just in case, because she didn't trust her mom maybe having it. Her mom was wearing those things too. So hopefully everything's on the up and up. Definitely could use any positive vibes here. But yeah, her mom, I mean, I think she's already, you know, I don't want to say she's doing better, but she left the hospital. She didn't want to stay there. So I guess it's a good sign that she had that choice. So, you know, we'll see how it all fares, but yeah, that's what's going on in this household today.
It's a lot, man. We'll all be, you know, thinking about you guys. And I mean, obviously at this point, I just wish your mother-in-law the best. I mean, it sounds like obviously if they were able to release her, that's, you know, that's a great sign in regards to where she's probably at. So, I mean, it's a scary thing because we still don't, I mean, I don't know about you, but I don't feel like I have a clear understanding of how it impacts people on an individual level. And it seems to be pretty random. So, yeah, I mean, all you can do is take every precaution and hope for the best. And I mean, it sounds like you guys are doing that. So just, you know, you'll be in our thoughts and, you know, just keep yourself as safe as you can.
For sure. Yeah, really, like, turn the world upside down for a couple of days. I mean, obviously have to move differently now, even until she gets tested to find out to make sure she doesn't have it or whatever. But, like, it's just kind of you got to move differently. And now she can do less. I have to do more. And it's just, like, everything kind of you know, it's just kind of weird walking in my house with a mask, like in certain rooms and stuff. I'm afraid, like, ah, put a mask on. So it's like, it's crazy. And, you know, she thinks she's fine, but I don't want to catch this shit for nothing, man.
Well, so. Let's definitely hope she is. How long ago did she last become in contact with her mother?
Like two or three, I think 2 days ago.
Okay. So you guys have a couple days under your belt, but you probably have another five more before, you know, you can feel safe about something. Not showing up.
Yeah, so hopefully,
but then there's like asymptomatic and stuff, so right. Yeah, it's important to get tested.
So hopefully by next episode we know whether Josh's dropkick or the COVID incident or worse. We'll have an update for you guys. But other than that, guys, let's get into some football. We've been focusing on Scott Fishbowl because that's what's been happening a lot, obviously, for us and for a lot of the listeners. Actual football is, you know, news trickles in here and there, things happen, but the Scott Fishbowl is a thing that, you know, we're super into right now. Dynasty football, obviously, for those who are playing year round like us too. And there's value here in redraft as well, but we want to kind of focus this episode on the Scott Fishbowl because all three of us are done. Last I checked, I'm in one of the group chats for pick 12 and some of them were still going. So, there's some leagues that are still going, which is crazy to think about, but I guess there's been people with busy schedules or just taking really long to draft, but we want to talk about some of the stuff we did, some of the players. We're going to kind of talk about more so the players though, because I don't want to get too into our team specifically because I don't know. You don't want to just talk about yourselves, even though everyone can relate because they have players on their teams, but let's just talk about the players that we got and how we feel about things, not necessarily our team specific. We'll start with trust issues. Josh helped out a lot here on this whole show list that we have today. So shout out to Josh for a lot of the assistance on this one. The first one we have here for trust issues. What was that?
Davis Schultz outscores Dalvin Cook. Just in total points.
So Travis Kelce outscores Dalvin Cook. Raw season total points. Trust issues or trust? Who wants to go first here? Josh, do you want to go first or Adam, do you want to go first?
You know what? I'll jump in. Okay. And again, this is Scott Fishbowl scoring, right? Correct?
Important.
All right. Yeah. So I think this is a super interesting question because, I mean, just from a points per game standpoint, last year, Dalvin Cook was at 22.3 points per game. And Travis Kelce, where were you, bud? He was just below that, I thought.
I've got it. But I don't have the same numbers.
I failed the world.
I've got
21.1. So yeah, they were super close. I mean, from a historical standpoint, when I was looking over the positional scoring, it seemed like even though positionally it seemed like last year was an up year for running back and Scott Fishbowl scoring overall, it was actually kind of a down year. Even in 2018, there were a lot more players that sustained over 20 points per game, which seems like a threshold for kind of an elite player in this scoring system. So I think that there is probably a higher probability that, you know, a running back outscores a tight end in this format. That being said, Travis Kelce year over year is just dominating the tight end position. I mean, I don't think we've ever had anyone this consistent. I mean, even when you had Rob Gronkowski, when you had Jimmy Graham, these guys, the amount of consistency that Travis Kelce has shown now just makes me feel extremely confident in him. So I think in this format, I want that confidence. So I feel more confident about Travis Kelce. So I'd probably say Travis Kelce, but it's so close. I mean, both these guys are neck and neck.
Josh, I know you put this one together. So how do you feel on this one, Josh?
I would take Kelce over Dalvin Cook. And to be fair, he was ahead of him in ADP. But it just seems, looking at it, it seems like something that could be a close call. So historically, what I've got here is the tight end one finishes right behind the QB1, QB2, and the wide receiver. So to pick Dalvin to beat Kelce, you sort of have to be picking him to be the RB1 or 2. And that's a pretty high, that's a pretty tall order.
I don't know. I mean, obviously we all like Travis Kelce, and obviously in this scoring it matters a lot. So, I mean, but you guys think it's – I mean, I don't think it's far-fetched to think that Dalvin Cook outscores Kelsey.
I think it's like a hair. I think it's literally a hair.
I would take Cook.
I have Dalvin Cook, full disclosure. So it's like, but if Travis Kelsey was there, I would have drafted Travis Kelsey over Dalvin Cook.
Yeah. I also have Dalvin Cook, but I think I would have taken Dalvin Cook also. If Kelsey was there, I still would have did it. Obviously, my situation is different because I could technically took them both. But, I would still take Cook. I want those elite running backs out the gate. Kelsey, I mean, I don't know, man. I don't know. My situation was different, so it's kind of hard to, you know, gauge it off just my experience because I was that 12th pick. But just generally speaking, I still think I would take Cook, man. I want those game changer running backs. So I'm gonna go opposite of you guys and take Cook here. But I get it. I get it. I definitely get it. But I just don't. I wouldn't do it. So we kind of split on that. I have trust issues with Kelsey over Cook. But I don't know how we worded this one. Yeah. I have trust issues. I'm gonna take Cook. So you guys will take Kelsey. I take Cook. Beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. The next one, Derrick Henry outscores Austin Eckler. This one's interesting. You got, you know, your guy that everyone looks at as the running back who's just a workhorse. They don't really look at him as a pass catching type of running back. And then you got a guy like Eckler who, you know, people thought originally was just a pass catching type of back in a way. But he's proved he's way more than that when Gordon was out. And now he's kind of like, you know, a darling to some people. A lot of people love him. Some people don't believe in him at all. But I'm curious if either of you will actually jump out here and say Eckler.
I will.
You will?
Yeah. I'll say Austin Eckler. Like, you have two efficiency queens here, right? And Derrick Henry is the team efficiency queen. And Austin Eckler, his efficiency is based in things that are more repeatable because they're more local to him. It's about his efficiency in the passing game. And I would just be more willing to bet on his ability to repeat that compared to Derrick Henry's bet, which relies on Ryan Tannehill and some other situational things.
That's fair. I don't know, man. That is a... So what, if you had to pick one thing that is going to push you from Eckler to Henry, you're saying is what?
I think that Eckler has, like, unique and repeatable skills that are more compatible with today's NFL. And I think that Derrick Henry, he's clearly a unique athlete, but I don't think that he can move a team the same way a player who plays in the passing game can.
Am I going to agree with you guys on every one here? Adam, where do you go on this one?
Nope. Oh, well, I'll at least disagree. Okay. to me, it's a question of sustainability. And I don't know. I mean, there's a couple offenses that I struggle with the consensus perspective on right now. And the Chargers are a huge one. I feel like people don't think that they're going to miss a beat in their passing offense from what they were with Phillip Rivers. And Austin Eckler, I mean, he's not a running back. I mean, traditionally, he's a guy who's maybe going to top out at 150 carries. I mean, it's just not his style. So when you are betting on him as a top 10 running back, you're betting on his passing efficiency. And, I mean, last year he caught 90 passes. I don't know if Tyrod Taylor and – I mean, how are they going to get him that sort of volume? I don't see them being as successful as a passing offense this year. So, for me, I have more concerns about the sustainability of how Austin Eckler produces in that offense. Whereas Tennessee, I mean – they just locked down Derrick Henry to a huge contract after locking down Ryan Tannehill to a huge contract. They know what they want to do. They are dedicated to using him as the focal point of that offense. And the guy is just he is the definition of a workhorse. The second they start passing the ball to Derrick Henry, he is the RB1. He is up there with Christian McCaffrey. And, I mean, he's probably ahead of Saquon if they pass the ball to him. So for me, it's Derrick Henry, both with floor and potential ceiling.
Yeah. I mean, everyone knows I love Eckler. There's no question about it. But if I was faced with this, I'm going to take the Henry side. I'm definitely going to lean Henry. It's funny that Josh takes Eckler. I'm kind of surprised, Josh. I'm kind of surprised.
I don't think that we've really seen very many good examples of a player just being gifted passing volume.
Yeah, no, I get the Eckler thing. Like, I love Eckler. I loved him last year. You know, I had the tweet, Eckler over Gordon. Like, I love Eckler, man. And I love seeing him get this opportunity, too, because, you know, for a second there, I didn't think he would even ever get this chance. There's just certain guys like this, like, you know, kind of like how you love Duke Johnson and just never gets that chance that you want. Austin Eckler got that chance. And so I love it. I don't think I could put him above Henry, man. I'm stuck there. Well, I want to. I mean, I want to, but I just can't. So for me, Derrick Henry outscoring Austin Eckler, I trust.
Can we actually stick on that for a moment, yeah, though? Because I'm really curious to hear your guys' perspective on what you think Austin Eckler is going to do as a rusher next year. Because you're both much higher on him as just a player overall than I am. I mean, to me, he's like elite Danny Woodhead. Like, he's going to, like, if he has another 90 catch season, yeah, dude, he's going to be worth this value. I just don't see the sustainability in that. I mean, he had 39 catches the year prior. So it's a giant jump up in production. I think that, you know, he's obviously not going to fall off a cliff, but where do you see him do, like, how do you see him producing as a runner? And then furthermore, if he doesn't get a large amount of carries there, which I just don't think is possible, who is the rushing option with Melvin Gordon being gone?
Why would it not be Austin Eckler? Why would they do something else?
I mean, you have 3 years of data that show that they don't want to. I mean, if you think in the fourth year of his career, he's going to spike from being a guy who maxed out last year at 132 carries and he's going to receive 200 plus. I mean, it's possible. I don't bet on things like that. To me, that doesn't make any sense. But
if 132 carries makes a top five PPR back, like, I don't really care how many carries he gets this year.
But that's not what did that to him. It was the 90 catches and the 900 yards and the 8 receiving touchdowns, which I don't think are sustainable.
Well, the touchdowns are debatable for sure. Like, that could easily fall down. But he's also playing zero games with Melvin Gordon this year. I think that his season last year was because of him, not because of circumstance. And I think that this season will again be because of him.
Yeah, I will say that the players that they have behind him don't give you any threat to believe that the Chargers don't believe in him as a running back. Because when Melvin Gordon was there, I get it, right? Like, I'm not even the biggest Melvin Gordon fan, but no one can deny that he's, you know, a pretty good player. When you got guys like Justin Jackson and Kelly, you don't feel like, oh, they're definitely going to push Austin Eckler out the way. Like, you know, I just feel like those are guys who are going to give him a breather and be the change of pace and whatnot, maybe a goal line guy, however you want to look at it. But to, you know, even if you don't believe in Eckler, even if you don't believe the Chargers don't believe in him, like, well, what are they going to replace him with? Unless there's something that's going to happen that we don't know about yet. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, really, that's my big question. And I guess from Josh's perspective, it's, you know, they think that he can handle the volume and they're going to give it to him. I don't see that looking at how they've used him historically and even how they used him last year when he was hyper efficient. That being said, when I look at the rest of the options in that backfield, I'm only left with questions. And right, the only answer to those questions is they think this guy's a workhorse. But everything about him says that he hasn't been. That's not to say that he can't be, which I guess is Josh's perspective. I just think that's a really crazy thing to bet on. I think if I'm betting, I don't want to be paying the value, which essentially where you have to draft him or where you had to draft him in the Scott Fishbowl, you're basically paying for him to be a workhorse of sorts.
Right.
He's going around those guys that are really fringe workhorses.
Right. So besides my point that I don't believe in the guys behind him, also Josh's point is he doesn't care if he's a workhorse. He thinks that he still can put up workhorse production without workhorse carries. Am I right, Josh?
Yeah. He was in PPR, he was the number four back, and I took him at 10. So he's being discounted.
It's interesting. It is interesting. I really hope, just for the sake of football and fantasy football, he does get the chance to be the workhorse, because I want to see how this thing plays out. And I want to see him do well at it, man, because I'm a fan and I would love to see a guy like him get the chance, you know, to be a workhorse. It's kind of a big experiment, right? Is there anyone that we could relate to him as far as a workhorse with his qualities? Like, is there a comparison?
I mean, Christian McCaffrey seems like a reach, you know. I wouldn't really put him in that group.
I mean, I can't think of a single player historically that has had three seasons of, you know, sub 150 carries and then all of a sudden gets 200 plus out of nowhere. Like, that's why I struggle with him, is because I don't see how that
he occurs. Doesn't need 200 carries.
But that's what I'm saying. I think that he does, because I don't see how that offense is going to translate to the passing efficiency they had last year with Phillip Rivers. I don't see that, dude. Tyrod Taylor is not going to come in and throw the ball 90 times to Austin Eckler. He's not that quarterback. So I don't see how he produces in that way. Personally, I just don't see it. Unless he's given a workhorse role and starts running the ball at just a much higher clip. And I don't think it has to be insanely high, because he's still going to catch, you know, 60, 70 balls. Right. So more than likely, if he hits 200 carries, I mean, just based on volume alone, he's going to have some really nice production. But 200 carries for a guy who last year hit his career high over the course of 3 years at 132 carries, I mean, that's a huge increase, man. You're talking an increase of 50%. I just don't see that.
I hear you, man.
I think the point that the Chargers might miss a beat with Tyrod instead of Rivers could be fair. Like, if the offense just contracts overall, then that's a fair point. But I'm excited to see what they can do with what they've got. I think it could be a very exciting offense.
All right. Well, we see where we all stand on this as far as Adam saying, you know, for him to believe in Eckler at the place he's going at, he feels like he needs workhorse carries. Josh and I disagree with that, but it's not that Adam's saying he's bad. He just would like to know what's happening with those carries, because if it's not for those carries, he's concerned about the placement of them. Which is all fair. It's all fair, and I'm sure people are on both sides of that with us. Let's move on to the next one we have here. Trust issues. DJ Moore deserves a third round pick. Trust or trust issues? Adam, jump all over this.
All the trust issues in the world, because we're talking Scott Fishbowl format. And this guy, I mean, he had an ADP of wide receiver 45.6, which would be like mid fourth round. So third round wouldn't be like a crazy reach. It's like a half round reach. Personally, I mean, DJ Moore from an like historical age standpoint, I mean, he's everything you could ever want in a prospect. My concerns are, I mean, it's actually really similar to the conversation we were just having around Austin Eckler in the Chargers offense, which is my concerns are around Teddy Bridgewater and that Carolina offense. Everyone seems to love this offense. I mean, if there is a Arizona Cardinals of this year from a how people feel about them, or even like a Cleveland Browns of last year or years past when Baker came in, I mean, that seems to be the fantasy echo around the Carolina Panthers this year. Everybody just loves their playmakers. I mean, people are talking up. I mean, obviously, Christian McCaffrey is the number one overall pick. DJ Moore is getting pushed up draft boards. And then literally, you know, Teddy Bridgewater is getting pushed up. You've got Curtis Samuel getting pushed up. I mean, Robbie Anderson gets pushed up. There's just every one of their options is getting pushed up draft boards. And I'm not as confident. I think that Teddy Bridgewater is a dink and dunk quarterback. I think that DJ Moore will rack up a ton of catches. I mean, I could definitely see him getting as high as 100 catches. So that in itself might be how he produces his value. But as far as like that overall offense being super productive, I'm more skeptical.
Now, Josh, you're the DJ Moore guy. You're the guy who did pick him in the third round. What do you say to what Adam just said?
I just kept looking at these wide receivers going up the ranks, and I just kept having to say, well, I'd just rather have DJ Moore. And so, like, I wasn't trying to get as far out on this limb as I could. I was just trying to make what I felt like was a sound decision. And DJ Moore is a player who has checked every box coming up along the way, still has a ton of upside, and he's not being drafted where I think he should be.
And where, I mean, do you think the third is where he should be, or do you think he's better than that?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I think that's like fair price. I think that when I drafted him in the third, I had a tough choice to make between him and Godwin. And by the time I got another pick, I did not have any of like my third or fourth choices. So it was DJ Moore then or never. And I got the guy I wanted.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. I know we talked about this on the podcast last week, right? This is when you were faced between a guy like Julio Jones or him. And Jordan gave you a lot of crap. We all kind of did about you taking DJ Moore over Julio. See, when I face a situation like that, then I say, you know, I don't want DJ Moore in the third because I want Julio over him. But it just depends on, you know, what's happening. Did we see where he went in the Scott Fishbowl mostly?
I saw him in the fourth and fifth.
Fourth and fifth?
Yeah, his ADP, like I said earlier, was 45.3, which would be mid-fourth round.
Okay. I mean, obviously, it just looks better there. Third round is just you saying you like him a lot and don't want to not get him.
It's not as far apart as what people think it is. So, like, for example, Julio Jones in 2019, he was 18.3 points per game, okay? And he's kind of a late career player. DJ Moore in 2019 was 15.4. So he lost about 2.5-3 points on him, okay? But just based on the history of players who have had very similar seasons and then looking at the next season after that, they're going to get somewhere between 10 and 16 points per game, both of them. Looking at RotoViz's historical projection machine. Like Julio comes out a little bit higher. Like instead of 10 to 16, he's maybe 12 to 17. But Julio also comes with a lot more downside.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. I mean, I'm definitely not as high on DJ Moore, but, you know, it's like a historical breakout. I mean, what he's doing at his age is phenomenal. I think he's a guy that weekly is going to present like a really high floor, but is not going to have a lot of ceiling weeks. And even if you just look at like his production last year, it kind of dictates that. I mean, he had two games where he had, like, really high production, but he had a ton of games. Like, if you're just looking at a standard PPR league, I mean, he had 8 games over 15 points, but he only produced 3 games over 20 and only 1 game over 30. So, like, for me, if I'm drafting as a wide receiver 1, I just want a guy who has more, like, huge week upside. And maybe that comes from drafting a ton of best ball and often drafting specifically for guys who have those huge spike weeks. But for me, I've always just found that that's really an effective way to approach redraft as well. And just like around where he's going, I'd rather have a guy like Kenny Galladay, who I think just presents a greater level of upside. But yeah, I mean, I don't think it's far off.
Yeah, as far as from a trust or trust issue standpoint, I don't have an issue saying trust. If it's just a guy, you know, that you love for whatever reason. I mean, I took Chris Godwin in the third as my wide receiver 1. I'm not sure how much you will love him more than DJ Moore. I mean, like, I don't know. You know, he has Mike Evans there. He has Tom Brady, all this kind of stuff. I mean, so if I'm in love with Chris Godwin and I'll pick him there, then I understand your love for DJ Moore and picking him there. You know what I mean? So I think that's where we can leave the Chris, the DJ Moore situation. I did add a couple of trust issues here that I just want to touch on really quick with you guys. The first one is Jerick McKinnon will play a full season in 2020. Trust or trust issues?
Trust issues, obviously. Come on, bud.
Nah, I can't do this, man.
You just like want to believe. You might as well have also said Josh Gordon is gonna play a full season. Like, come on. I mean, I hate to be a downer, but he just historically doesn't. I don't know. He like I'm one of those people too who say that, like, you know, the injury prediction stuff is a lot of hooey and nonsense, but there are certain guys where it's just like it's gone on so long that it's hard to see at this point in his career that he plays a full season. But maybe, I mean, I hope for his sake it happens.
My guy Jerick McKinnon took a pay cut. San Francisco has still gave him a shot. They're still giving him a shot because they love him. He's looked great in those videos. He's looked great in that video, those workout videos. Now I'm holding out hope, man. I'm holding out hope. I'm going to continue to hope. You guys know I'm a guy that believes, man. I just want to see him play, man. I want to see him do well. We had those little flashes so brief that I just want to believe. I'm sure Josh is in your boat, even though he'll believe in a guy like Duke Johnson, but won't give my boy Jerick any love. But
I want to believe in Jerick, man. I'm all for it. I'm here. I just think that he probably only plays a full season if he's taking like 20 snaps a game.
Man, Jerick McKinnon was Austin Eckler before Austin Eckler. Let's just,
you know what? Like, that's pretty much fair.
Let's just be honest. Let's just call it what it is. Just call it what it is, guys.
I want to see it, man. I'm just not betting the mortgage yet.
The last trust issue that I have here is when someone tells you their dog doesn't bite. Trust or trust issues?
Trust issues.
My dogs usually do pretty well on that. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to lie is what I said last week for this. But seriously, I have people come to my house sometimes and my dogs are out and I go, oh, don't worry, they don't bite. And I hate being the guy that says that because as soon as I say it, I go, oh God, I hate when people say that. But at the same time, they do pretty good. I have faith in them. So, but yeah, generally speaking, when someone says that, I'm like, yeah, okay. I'm glad you feel that way. I'm not taking the chance, but I was just curious where you guys were at. Neither one of you were like, I don't give a damn what dog it is. I'm trusting it. Some people are like that.
You can just tell. Like, I went over to a person's house. It was a group run. I'd never been there before. I'm walking up their driveway, and their dog is going nuts, and she's holding this dog by the harness. But, like, you can tell that the dog was not making I'm going to eat you sounds. It was just, like, it wanted to be petted. You can just tell.
Is it petted or pet?
Petted.
Okay. If you say so, teach. I will say that I don't know if you guys ever had them in your area, but I one time I got out of my car and someone had, I guess, one of those invisible fences. I don't know if it was an invisible fence or just two really dogs that follow directions, but they had these two massive dogs in their yard and I got out of my car and they just started barking and like running towards me. And I was like, oh, I'm dead. I'm fucking dead. And then they just stopped. And I'm like, what? I'm like, is there one of those invisible fences here? Or are they just like super protective and they know their space? I'm like, that is crazy. I thought for sure I was gonna like die. I'm like, I'm caught in the bad spot here. And they were massive dogs and they looked super mean and they were barking as soon as I got out of the car. And I was like, how did they stop like that? I'm like, there's no way they're trained like that. There's no way they had that self-control. But yeah, it was crazy.
That's probably an electronic fence.
I was envious of that. I was envious of that house. I was envious of their dogs and the control and the protection. But yes, move on. Don't trust people who say their dogs don't bite. Let's go on to rank them. Rank them, rank them, rank them. We have the first one here, best value. Again, guys, these are coming out of Scott Fishbowl. That's where these landing places and stuff are coming out that we're trying to relate these to. Tyler Boyd, who was wide receiver 21 in 2019, at wide receiver 33. Is that my pick?
I think it was yours. Okay.
Yeah, Tyler Boyd, so that's probably mine. The next one we have here is Kirk Cousin, was QB6 at QB10. Who got him, Josh?
That was me.
Okay, and Edelman, wide receiver 5 at wide receiver 26. That was probably Adam. I also got Edelman too, but that was probably Adam. So best value, if you have to rank these, Adam, where are you going?
Well, I think that's interesting because if you put mine on there, that means I probably got Edelman later than you did, which means it's a better value and you drafted him. So I got to put Edelman at the top. But Tyler Boyd is literally like right there. For me, I think Edelman just has more historical consistency, but that historical consistency is based around Tom Brady. So I don't know what that offense is going to look like and how Julian Edelman is going to be utilized. And I am a little bit fearful that the transition might cause him to not be as big of a focal point. And Tyler Boyd is more on an ascending offense, especially with Joe Burrow going there and his prospects literally being sky's the limit. I mean, that guy just, I think we forget. I honestly, drafting best ball, it looks like people forget. He destroyed college football last year. He maddened college football last year. I mean, he was a video game out there. And people are drafting him in like the 13th round, 14th round of best ball drafts right now. I think that's really interesting. And I think that Tyler Boyd, because of that, his potential is way higher. Where Edelman, I mean, I don't know. It's so hard because Edelman just has like this historical consistency. I mean, he was the wide receiver 5 in this format last year. So it's like to say that Boyd has a higher ceiling than the guy who was just wide receiver 5 last year seems like a stretch. But yeah, I mean, I would say that if I had to rank him, it's Edelman with Boyd like right behind. And then if you walk and then trip, and then fall over the side of this cliff and then fall and then you go doof, and then you hit the bottom, that's where Kirk Cousins' value is.
Damn. That was rude, right, Josh? But
listen, Kirk Cousins is made for the SFB format. This guy was number 6 in completion percentage. He was number 5 in QBR. He was made for a completion percentage driven format.
Drew Brees was made for this format.
But
Kirk Cousins is boring.
Damn.
Boring will still pay the bills. And in my quarterbacks, that is just fine. Cousins can be boring.
That is true. It does pay the bills.
He's also got Justin Jefferson coming in, who I think could be maybe this year's A.J. Brown and do something similar to what he did for Ryan Tannehill to Kirk Cousins. What if Dalvin Cook gets hurt and Kirk Cousins has to actually play some football?
Fair question. But not hearing it. And for the record, I got Edelman after you, Adam.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to get something from all three rosters.
Oh, interesting. What value did you get, Edelman?
I got Edelman at, where'd it go? Hold on. I got him at, well, you got him at what? It was 7?
No, the wide receiver number. But...
Oh, okay. So for you, it was wide receiver 26. For me, it was wide receiver 32.
Okay, dang. Yeah, that's great value. And you actually got Tyler Boyd right after that. So, yeah, that's pretty.
Not mad at it, man.
Nope, definitely not. Not mad at that at all.
That could be a really big deal if Julian Edelman just keeps doing what he always does.
Even if he doesn't do exactly what he did last year, right? Even if we take a step back and knock him down some. Like, I mean, with Cam Newton, it should be nice, man. It should be decent.
The interesting thing that I'm intrigued to see is how Josh McDaniels uses a mobile quarterback. Because I don't know if you guys remember, but the short period of time that Jacoby Brissett was their starter, that offense was crazy. Like, it was basically what Lamar is, which is what's wild to think about. I don't necessarily think they're going to go that way with Cam. I don't think they have to because Cam is a decent passer. Actually, he's above decent. He's a good passer. So I think that he's going to have like this really wide open playbook, but I'm intrigued to see, especially with guys like Edelman, how they utilize him in the rushing game and how they are utilizing misdirections. And I think we're going to see some really, really interesting things in the Patriots this year.
Yeah. It's going to be a fun team to watch. It's a lot of changes there, man. It's a lot of changes. We'll see how it plays out. We'll see how it plays out. It's going to be hard for us on these, probably with our own players, to go against ourselves, right? But
yeah, you think.
So, all right. Biggest reach is the next rank 'em. And we got Dobbins at running back 29 in the 7th round. We have Waller at tight end 5 in the 3rd round. And we have Ryan Tannehill at quarterback 15 in the 5th round. Josh, we'll let you start this one, man.
The one that I'm the most worried about there is probably Ryan Tannehill, because I'm just not sure that what we saw last year is the real Ryan Tannehill. I would like for it to be true, because that means that AJ Brown is also a real thing, but I'm still nervous about Ryan Tannehill. 5th round pick is a valuable pick.
So you like Kirk Cousins and you're not afraid of Kirk Cousins, but you are afraid of Ryan Tannehill.
Kirk Cousins has a better track record than Ryan Tannehill.
Josh, it's rank 'em. It's not name one.
Well, rank okay, so reach would be Ryan Tannehill, and then it's probably my Dobbins pick, and then after that, I think Waller at tight end 5 in the 3rd round is fine.
So you think your Dobbins reach is worse than Waller?
I really wanted Waller. I got picked off. Just a little bit upset about that.
Yeah. I mean, when I drafted Waller, there was people like in the draft that said, oh, good pick, good pick, good pick. But there were still people outside of that division that were like, it's a little early for Waller, isn't it? I'm thinking, listen, man.
The 3rd round, I feel like, is one of those places where you either settle or you reach a little bit. And
I don't know. It was my pick. It was a reach, guys. I mean, just based on ADP alone, he was a 4th round value. I think that I definitely did reach on him there personally, but I wanted to based on my build. Like I honestly, looking at it in hindsight for my team personally, I wish that, I don't even know for sure, but I do see that there might have been value if I took George Kittle in the 2nd, where I took Drew Brees, and then wouldn't have been forced to take Waller there, and probably would have taken Matthew Stafford to pair with Kenny Galladay and gotten a nice little stack. So there are other ways that, like, when I look at a draft in hindsight, I do see little things where I kind of wish I played it differently. That being said, I don't know. I'm not like down on it by any stretch of the imagination, but Waller in the 3rd does feel a little bit of like a reach. Dobbins, he's one of those guys that I think presents a lot of upside, but I think that that's if you think Mark Ingram's dead. He's over 30, so for fantasy, maybe he should be. But I drafted him, so I'm going to pretend that he's not. But yeah, for Ryan Tannehill, QB 15, to me, that's perfect. That's exactly where he should go. And Dobbins at running back 29, you're pretty much getting that value already baked in. It's a RB3, you're not really going to get him much lower than that. So to me personally, I'd actually say I don't think any of these are reaches, because mine would be the biggest reach.
Yeah, I mean, I took Waller early too, man. I mean, you know, considered, like I said, I took him at 4-1, I think. So not far behind you, you know?
No, I took him at 3-11. So no, yeah, you basically did the same thing I did. Yeah. So, yeah.
And remember, I picked back to back, and I knew my picks wouldn't come back around for a while. So I was like, I'm like, at this point, you know, I either get the guy I love or I'm going to basically not have him. So sure, you could play with fire when it comes to these guys, kind of like, you know, Josh's DJ Moore, you know, these kind of guys. Like, it just depends on how bad you want guys. And in a league like this, man, you might as well get the guys you love. You know what I mean, like, there's just so many different ways this is happening, being played out. And it just doesn't even matter at that point. Like, if you got a guy you really love and you're like, his value is really next round or, you know, whatever. And you're like, why do it? You know what I mean? Because if I didn't take Waller there, I would not have got him, and then I would have been pissed. So it is what it is.
Both of you guys, if I'm not mistaken, took him at tight end 5. There was just one draft that was running a little bit hotter on tight ends. Just like I had to take – I took Austin Ekeler in the 2nd, but I took him at RB10. And I think RB10 probably doesn't go at 205 in every draft.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, he was tight end 5 in every draft. The problem is that some people got him in the 6th round. I mean, yeah, there was some people got him tight end 6, tight end 7. But, like, you know, we got him early compared to considering the field. Like, we got him early compared to a lot of people. But then again, there were people.
Yeah, that's the wildness of the Scott Fish Bowl, though. Every draft is so drastically different. All you can do is really just focus on your draft and how, like, it ebbs and flows.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to the biggest problem potentially here. We have Terry McLaurin as your roster's wide receiver 2, Austin Eckler, who we talked about earlier, as your running back 1, or Will Fuller as a weekly start on your roster. Like, I know, Adam, we talked before this, you don't really feel like there's a major problem here. If you had to rank these, is it rankable for you, or do you just feel like, you know, none of them are a big deal to you?
No, it would be Austin Eckler. I mean, he's kind of a fringe RB1, high-end RB2, I think, in this format. I mean, that's kind of how he was drafted, too. I mean, he went as the RB12. So I think that if he was your RB1, I wouldn't really feel super great about it, because all the things that I outlined before that you guys can go back and listen to. honestly, though. For me, he'd be at the bottom of this list, or he'd be the biggest problem. So I guess he'd be at the top of the rank'em list for this category. Then for me, it becomes Terry McLaurin as your wide receiver 2, or Will Fuller as a weekly starter. To me, there is no such thing as a weekly starter. Like, unless you're drafting them in like the first 3 rounds, the likelihood that you're going to start them every single week is so crazy with how many injuries occur and how much people disappoint and how much production is related to matchups that I hate that kind of thought process. For me, Will Fuller is just this crazy upside play that is going at a really nice value this year. I mean, they lost DeAndre Hopkins, and it has not really affected where Will Fuller is going in drafts. He's kind of going as like that low-end wide receiver 2, high-end wide receiver 3, sometimes a wide receiver 4. In fact, I do want to check while I'm saying this where he actually did go in Scott Fishbowl ADP, because to me, he just presents crazy upside. So he went on average as the wide receiver 35, so almost as a fringe wide receiver 4. So for me, I just think he produces this crazy upside. I mean, I think that it'd be foolish to say that Terry McLaurin even has the level of upside of Will Fuller, just based upon the offense, the quarterback, the historical production there. I mean, you don't have DeAndre Hopkins now. That's a huge, huge hole to fill. If Will Fuller stays healthy, I mean, the sky's the limit with that guy.
Did you just slander Terry McLaurin for Will Fuller?
Yeah, I mean, if you, like, I'd probably take Terry McLaurin before Will Fuller in drafts, but the reason for that is because of his, like, consistency, and because that's where you have to draft him, where Will Fuller right now is going so much later. But, dude, I mean, how can you ever have watched Will Fuller and not say, like, if this guy gets a healthy season, he's going to be a top 5 wide receiver? I mean, Houston just bet on that by getting rid of DeAndre Hopkins, which seems insane to all of us. But if Will Fuller ends up being like Chris Godwin was to Mike Evans last year, I mean, are we all going to look back and go, man, no, we're actually going to still think it was idiotic to get rid of DeAndre Hopkins. I can't believe I just kind of even like went down that rabbit hole. But yeah. In all reality, that's going to be an idiotic move regardless. That being said, it does open up this huge window of opportunity for Will Fuller. And I really, I don't know, I love the ceiling if he seizes it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a Will Fuller fan. I've had him in dynasty leagues forever. I keep on holding on to him as things tragically fall apart every year. But for me, and I'm rooting for him, and I would love to do for him to do great. He is my biggest problem on the list, though. The problem is I like all 3 of these guys. And so Austin Eckler as a running back 1, whether or not he gets those 200 carries or not, to me, isn't crazy out of this world. Terry McLaurin as a wide receiver 2, I love it. Obviously, I drafted him. And Fuller, while I love him, my history with him says that I can't trust him on a weekly basis to start on my roster. So even half a season on my roster. So it's like one of those things where it's the easy pick for me for the biggest problem, just because I'm concerned health-wise whether he can do it, you know? So just that alone, the other two being generally healthy guys throughout their careers, it just makes Fuller the easy pick for me as far as biggest problem. Josh, where are you at with this?
I agree that Austin Eckler as your RB1 is a problem. That's just like the position that I was put in because of taking Travis Kelce in the first round, which I feel like is justifiable, but it leaves you chasing at running back. It just does.
For sure. I mean, like you said, when you it's what you had to do. You know, it's hard to point. I mean, if you didn't take Austin Eckler there, like what else would you have done? Right? I mean,
well, I felt like I had to take Austin Eckler, and I'd rather have Austin Eckler than like Miles Sanders, Josh Jacobs, Aaron Jones, Kenyon Drake. I'd rather have him than all of those players. So that's how I ended up with him.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that, over those guys. Adam, would you think you would have went Eckler too if you were in Josh's shoes at that point?
I wouldn't have, but I wouldn't have, like, it wouldn't be that much later in the draft that I'd be looking at Eckler. I think he was a third round pick, and I think that's probably about where I'd have him. As far as, like, the other running backs in that range that you named, I mean, for me, I think Kenyon Drake just presents a more realistic upside. So that would probably be someone that I would be targeting there over Austin Eckler, but it's close.
Yeah.
Probably not going to be drafting running back there. I think for me, there's just more dramatic teardrops where, like, once it falls off at running back, I'm just not targeting running back for, like, 2-3 rounds probably. Like, there's just so much wide receiver talent that it's just, to me, it's not worth taking the risk.
Yeah. No, I definitely agree with you there. I've done that in the past in Scott Fishbowl and kind of let running backs fall. It did turn ugly at some points, but I definitely hear you on that. And totally unrelated, but when you mentioned Kenyon Drake, like, I just feel like he's still not getting enough respect, man. I feel like people are still missing the boat on this guy.
I don't know, in best ball drafts right now over on Drafters, he's sometimes creeping up into the late second round. I mean, he's a pretty stable third round pick, so to me, honestly, like, that should be about as high as he goes. If he starts going in the second round consistently, that's going to be really tough to draft him there. Personally,
yeah, I see his value being worth that, though. Like, I like him being drafted where he's getting drafted, but I see he can outperform that draft position, if that makes sense for me.
It's Eckler over Drake because it's targets over carries.
Yeah, I'm Eckler over Drake, but I do like Drake a lot. Like, I just traded for him in Dynasty, even. I got rid of, I forget who it was, but I really do like Drake a lot. But I paid a lot for him, too. It wasn't cheap. I probably lost on the deal overall, but I just like Drake, man. All right, so let's move over to foul or no foul as we continue through here. The first foul or no foul that we have here is Derrick Henry's contract is worth it for a running back with his ability. Foul or no foul, a very contentious topic as fantasy Twitter crawls into the fetal position to see a running back get paid all this money with all this wear and tear. He can't possibly be worth it, right, guys?
Derrick Henry... like, he's one of those guys that I don't really like betting against. I mean, when it comes right down to it, I'm going to bet him behind Austin Eckler. You know, but it's like, it's a tough decision. I don't like betting against him, and so I don't like saying he's not worth the money. He is a rare specimen.
He is a statistical outlier is what he is. That's how he should be approached in this situation. Because, yeah, I mean – he's one of those weird guys that you pay, I think. I mean, from like a sustainability standpoint, I think what he does on the football field looks to be sustainable for the length of the contract. I mean, they didn't sign him to something crazy. I think it's a 4-year deal. To me, like, it makes sense with where that team's at and how they were able to structure Ryan Tannehill's contract. They know what kind of team they want to have there. I would say I don't mind it, which is surprising from someone who's pretty running backs don't matter.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's Derrick Henry. Dude's a freak.
I'm not going to lie. I expected you guys to slander this one, man. I know you guys know I don't mind showing love to running backs. I don't mind them getting drafted in the first round. I don't mind them getting paid the big bucks. I don't mind it. As long as your team is going to make them a workhorse and they are going to carry your team and actually give your team wins all on their own standalone value, I'm here for it, man. So I have zero issue with that. I actually think it's good for the Titans to make this deal. Whether it plays out in favor, we'll see. Hopefully they win a Super Bowl with them and it makes all the sense in the world. But I have zero issue with it. And I know a lot of people hate it. I'm sure people are screaming that it's the most ridiculous thing ever. And that's just the way these things work. Speaking of contracts, I could be totally off. This could be totally makes no sense, but I'm kind of curious what you guys think on this one. Not getting a new deal will affect Dak's performance this season, foul or no foul. And no, I say that because just recently stuff came out that they were trying. He wanted a deal before this thing just closed off. And his brother said, I seen someone say his brother was upset on Twitter or something. So my feeling is he did want a new deal, of course. And they didn't get it done for whatever the reason. And I'm just curious if you guys think that will affect Dak's performance this season, foul or no foul.
Yeah, no foul. I mean, I think that these type of things typically don't have much of an impact. I think this is a rare circumstance, though, with everything that's going on with COVID and the situations around the season. Like, if they play, we have no idea what it's going to be like, what the conditions are going to be like. And guess what, man? If you're in a bubble like they're doing with the NBA, it's going to matter whether you're making – is he's still on his rookie deal, right? So a rookie contract
I think he signed a tender.
Did he sign a tender? Yeah. If he signed a tender, then maybe it's not going to impact him as much. I'm almost definitely sure you're right. So yeah, in that regard, it's not like a drastic pay increase. It's probably not going to affect him. I initially was thinking that it was going to be like this drastic pay difference. And in that case, because of the stress that's going to be put on the season, something that I normally would think wouldn't matter might have more of an impact. But yeah, these are NFL pros. I mean, typically these things are not going to affect them once they get on the football field.
Yeah, he's scheduled to make $31.4 million this year, franchise tag.
I think he'll be just fine.
Any concern at all, Josh? Any concern at all?
I'm still going to draft Dak in the top five quarterbacks.
Okay.
So I guess I have a lot of concern.
I guess
I would rather see the Cowboys paying. But
yeah. All right. The last one I have for foul or no foul, I actually seen this on Bleacher Report. I now forget the writer's name. Unfortunately, I apologize. Tom Brady's Tampa Bay Bucks will not make the playoffs. Foul or no foul?
I think no foul. I think that could easily just happen. I mean, I don't think a quarterback can really drag a team to the playoffs, even if it's Tom Brady. So that's not that crazy of a thing.
I'm going to say foul. They extended the playoffs to seven teams specifically just to try and make sure they could squeeze Brady in there. So, like, the rig's in. It's just I don't know, man. I think that the NFL is more fun if Tom Brady makes the playoffs. So why are we going to act like that's not what we all want? It makes it more interesting. So let's give it to him.
You were going down conspiracy street and you tried to back off of it.
Yeah. I mean, a little bit. I mean, come on. They expand to seven teams, right? As Brady leaves, goes to a new team. I don't know. I think that the Bucks very likely could be that seventh seed too. We'll see what happens. I think that they're going to be much closer to, 8-8 than they are going to be 14-2. But I still think they make the playoffs.
Yeah. Embrace your role as crazy conspiracy guy on the Clock Dodgers podcast, man.
You can't make me.
Josh has embraced his role as weak intro guy. I mean, take your conspiracy guy and just run with it, all right?
So mean.
Never.
All right, that's it. That's all I have for foul or no foul. Let's move on to show and tell and then wrap this bad boy up. Show and tell, I know Adam and Josh know, but if you're new to the show, this is our part of our segment. This is like back in elementary school. We're bringing it back where, we share a product, an item, a podcast, a book, anything you want with the listeners because you want everyone to say, oh, that's so cool. I want to try it. Example, mine today. I know it's old to some people, but bruh, if you haven't watched Ozark, Netflix, I started when it came out. I stopped. It's okay. Come back. binge it like I did. Three seasons, knock it out in a couple days. You could be finished before the weekend. It's amazing. I don't know if it was slow to start. I forget. I don't know if that's why I stopped. I don't know if I just got busy. Whatever the reason was, I came back. I did not start from the beginning. I started where I left off at, and it was amazing. So push through, binge it. You'll finish before the weekend. It's amazing. I don't know when season four is coming out, but you only got three seasons to catch up on. It's nothing. It's nothing. It's a great show, great cast, great story, great everything. I did tweet it, and I got a great response to it, so I know everyone loves it out there. Some people were kind of like, eh, I don't know. It wasn't amazing. I put it in my top five, but I don't know where you guys are at with it. But
oh, it's in my top five.
For sure.
That show's fantastic.
It's a freaking awesome show. Josh, you always give us bad TV show stuff. Did you ever watch Ozark?
I did watch Ozark. I love Jason Bateman. He's awesome.
He is. He's a great actor. So yeah, it's a great show. So anyone who hasn't seen it definitely should see it. I don't know when season four comes out, but I'm already amped up for it.
You know that season four is going to be the final season?
I don't know if they announced it at the end of the show, because I think it came up when I watched it. It said season four will be coming or something like that. I don't know if they said it was the final, but I did see people on Twitter before I got into it thinking this was going to be the final season, right?
And yeah, then, so season four has been announced as the final season. They also said, I believe they're expanding it to either 14 or 16 episodes.
And splitting it, right?
Don't quote me on that. I think 14 episodes they're expanding it to. But yeah, so they're doing an extended season, but it is the final.
But when people watch this, though, did they think this was the final season at first?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
I definitely didn't. I mean, if other people did, I can't speak to that, but I don't know that as being a thing.
Yeah, the best comment I can give it is, if this was the final season, it was done great. Like, if it was, you know what I mean? Like, this would have been perfect. So that's how
not
good the show
all.
Is.
I
would have been fine with it.
Series like that.
I would have been fine with it. That's how I felt about it. It's a lot better than what a lot of my other favorite shows went down, the path they went down. So,
I mean, the show's fantastic, but I just think that you can't end the show there.
No, there's definitely room. There's definitely room to go further. But you're telling me if it did stop there, you would be upset?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Oh, you're ridiculous. You're ridiculous. I've been burned by too many shows at this point that I would have took that ending. That's besides the point. Josh, do you have anything today, my man, besides drop kicking meth heads?
Well, if allegedly,
you don't want to get sued by the crazy guy.
Yeah. I don't need to hear from him. You know what I did this week? And I went to a live yoga class, and it was fantastic, man. More people should get out there and do that.
What does live yoga class mean? Are they
know what I mean? Like, you actually go to it.
Isn't that what everyone
like
does?
Like an in-person class.
Okay, so in-person class.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. I didn't know what live
meant. You are the worst person to have on a podcast right now, dude. You're just out in public all the time and encouraging people to be like the rest of our states or anything like your COVID positive, mind you, governor, who is just letting you guys do whatever you want down there.
Listen, as I'm sitting here in the house, anxiety through the roof of Corona, my state is like the fourth largest of countries. My state is a country.
Everybody just go do yoga. Just go be in a hot confined environment together. Just go ahead. Go do some hot yoga together. Jesus Christ.
In this time.
We're going to get canceled because Josh is going to get Corona.
Listen, live yoga quickly turns to dead yoga right now, Josh. Please do not tell our listeners to go do live yoga.
You find a place. You find a place that's being safe, that's got their class numbers down, and you go and you don't worry about it.
Folks, we are canceling Josh ourselves. Please, no lawyers contact us. Nobody cancels on your channels, on your networks, on your social media. We will cancel Josh on our own. Josh, Adam, we can't let this go on any further. Please give us...
The New World Order does not involve yoga classes,
it doesn't.
All right, Josh?
Adam, give us something so we can get past this guy telling people to go out in public.
You know what? I don't think I ever have made my little show and tell be about fantasy football, but I'm doing it this week.
Let's go.
I'm really going to give a shout out to Drafters Fantasy Sports and their best ball tournaments or tournament. Right now, they're only offering the one. Each time one fills, they're offering another. This is now the second one that they're offering. But as far as like what a contest could be for best ball, they really did exactly what quote unquote best ball community was asking for. I mean, you've got a contest that has a really relatively low buy-in. It's a $5 buy-in, 100 max entries. So even if you wanted to max enter this like it was DFS, you could do so and it would only be $500. It's nothing insane. And they're giving away a $50,000 grand, or sorry, guaranteed prize pool with a $10,000 grand prize. Like, the pay structure is really flat across the board, which is something you don't often see in contests like this. And honestly, from an interface standpoint, I was someone who used the draft app a lot in the past 2 years. It was a really great and convenient app that was so popular that FanDuel bought it. That being said, Drafters has really filled that hole in the space, and I just started using it about a week ago, and I've done half a dozen drafts or so far, and I think it's extremely user-friendly. It's really easy to set rankings. It's really easy to use both on your phone and on desktop, and yeah, I mean, I've been really happy with it, and I obviously want to see it be able to continue because I'm a huge best ball player. That's really the majority of what I like to do for fantasy. And these best ball contests, these like tournaments, have been something that have been really exciting in the past few years, because they do offer that, you know, huge grand prize potential, which typically best ball is just kind of churning out a profit. So yeah, I mean, it's a great contest. It's a great site. And I think that they, you know, could use all the promotion possible. And who knows? Maybe if we keep talking about them, they'll give us some money to talk about.
I was just going to say, hey, Drafters, that's your first one. It's free. It's on the house. After that, we're going to need you to slide some dough in our pockets. No. Hey, man. If it's
am
a
I
good product,
a free yoga class?
Free yoga class? No, you don't get those. We actually need you to be arrested, if you want to be honest. not a free anything. You're not getting out of jail on this one, buddy.
The Gestapo need to come out.
Yeah. Somebody needs to pay Josh a visit.
They were masks.
We're the thought police when we need them.
Josh, I cannot believe you do this stuff, man. Josh is just out there living life on the fucking
edge.
It's
good for you.
Josh, now you say it's good for you. Again, Josh is not a doctor. These are not professional.
Seriously.
These are not professional opinions, folks. If you want to find Josh on Twitter because you want to hate tweet him, get him banned from Twitter, anything at all, you would find Josh at JC Crocker. Correct, Josh?
Yeah, that's correct.
Is there anything besides live yoga endorsements that you give them at Twitter, Josh?
No, it's mostly just yoga talk.
And inside jokes that nobody gets.
Inside jokes.
That yeah, we want also to be outside jokes, so download the podcast more. Adam can be found at The Other FF Guy, where he basically monitors Josh's tweets.
Just for the record, everyone, it doesn't have a question mark at the end of it, regardless of Neil's inflection.
Because I'm not really sure if you're the other FF guy or not, you know, just not sure. But it is meant, he's basically just a monitor, you know those hallway monitors when you were in elementary school? He's that for Josh's Twitter. We just make sure he doesn't get out of line. Adam busses it, sends it over to me, we delete it, we get it taken care of. You can find me at Clock Dodgers on Twitter, Instagram, all those kind of things. Yo, man, we love Twitter. We love interacting with you guys. Send us questions. Send us anything you want. We will talk about it. We will debate about it. We will have lots of fun on it. If you have a guest that you want to see on the show, send recommendations. If you want a guest to return to the show, let us know. We got a bunch. Oh, we got a bunch of, I almost forgot this. We got a bunch of reviews on Apple Podcasts, which I want to make sure I read these before we jump off of here. Because I did mention on Twitter, you know, guys, I always ask for reviews if you can give them, because it helps the podcast grow. It helps listeners. If you're a person and you're just looking through the list, you're looking up fantasy football, you come across Clock Dodgers, you're like, what's this about? You look at the reviews, and if they see your review and it's nice and beautiful and positive, they go, you know what? I'm going to give that show a chance. So I did reach out on Twitter and say, hey, we're looking to hit 100. That's like the goal. That's a milestone. And of course, a lot of awesome people who follow the Clock Dodgers handle, who listen to the podcast, who, you know, we support and vice versa. They support us like crazy and we love it. They were kind enough to go on there. So we were trying to get 100, which we only needed one. And more than that came through. So we're over 100 now. So I just want to shout out these people really quick because they did go out of their way to do this. At Justin. Well, actually, what's his Twitter handle? It may be the same exact one, but if I can give their Twitter handles, if I remember them, I'll try to do it. The first one was at Justin FF underscore. He's on Twitter. He said, this is an entertaining and informative as you can get. You get to hear real inside stories and get to know the guys on a personal level. This helps you open up your mind to their facts and sometimes opinions. Just don't listen to yoga opinions. Oh, Shades. I'm not sure which one this was on Twitter. I don't think it's the same Twitter handle. He said, worth your time for sure. If you're into fantasy football, even a little bit, great advice, excellent guest, and a host who tactfully speaks his mind. I'm hoping he's talking about me. We have.
Definitely.
Yeah, I hope he's talking about me. He could be talking about you and thinks you're the host and you're not.
Josh doesn't have tact.
That's true. Unless you're a Kirk Cousins fan. At Treemaster. Again, this is not the Twitter handle, I don't believe. He put, love these guys. Great guests and analysis. Awesome to hear them having fun with each other all the time. 10 stars if I could. Oh, what the love is amazing, isn't it? And the last one, shout out to Austin. I'm sure you guys have all interacted with Austin on Twitter at this point, because he shows lots of love to the show. If you are listening, you don't know, it's at Austin_G_H. He's already given us a review, but he knew he needed to get to 100. He knew it was a goal. He knew he wanted to support the show at the highest level he could. So he said, you know what? I'll use my grandmother's phone and give you guys another review. And I said,
and that right there is how you get to 10 stars.
That's how you get to 10 stars. And I said, you know what? I would love for you to do that. Make sure you sign it, Austin's grandmother, so we know. And so he said a lot of awesome stuff here. He said, the Clock Dodgers podcast is a quintessential lifestyle podcast that everyone needs in their lives. Anyone can give you stats about players, but Neil brings with him an A-plus rated cast of support co-stars who could each star in their own five-star podcast. Not to bloat his ego too much, but Neil gets just the best possible guests anyone could possibly hope to have, i.e. Ray, GQ, Justin Edwards, and the godfather of fantasy football himself, Matthew Berry. Fantasy football is only one part of this podcast. Adam, Josh, and Neil delve into the depths of music, current events, items of interest, movies, TV shows that are must-see, and a host of other podcasts that range from comedy to the occasional murder podcast. You know you're a listener when you say murder podcast. I guarantee that this will be one of the most addictive parts of your podcast schedule. You can trust me on this because I'm Austin's grandmother. That's just facts, folks. That's just the facts. Thank you to all of you guys who left reviews. I wish I can get everyone's Twitter handle that left it. I believe one of them also was, I can't think of the top of my head now. But shout out to all you guys. If I find you guys, I'll shout you up in future podcasts. I know I will find you guys because I remember you guys tweeting at me. One of them was @BigWilly13. I don't know which one of those names he was, though. Thank you to you guys. When we continue to get new reviews, we'll read them out loud. Maybe we'll go back and read some old ones. And some of you weird motherfuckers who changed from 5 to 2 because you're just strange. But other than that, thank you guys. We appreciate it. We love it. If you haven't already, slap the subscribe button, drop us a 5-star review. Thank you for your unwavering support. Clock Dodgers, be kind, be great, keep dodging.